You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
March the 30th, 2021. A Rasmussen survey of 1,000 likely U.S. voters finds 62%, 5 and 8, saying getting control of our border is more important than providing amnesty. Yes, of course it is. And yet there's still 31% in that survey that say amnesty is more important than border control. I don't even know why they were thinking about amnesty. If you don't have border control, you don't have to worry about it. Everybody can come in anyway. There's no amnesty because we're not going to send anybody home. And the Biden administration continues to ignore what's happening at the border. They want you to believe it's good. But when over the weekend they have to send out emergency word, we need volunteers. We need volunteers. Somebody go down and help. They won't use the word crisis, chaos. They use one other C word. It's a challenge. And they're failing at that challenge. And in fact, word coming out today, because it kind of got hidden, they are now opening another port of entry. They'd already acknowledged that they're using ports of entry for Brownsville, El Paso, Texas, and San Diego, California. And then they got around to adding Hidalgo and Laredo, Texas. Now, they did not mention Eagle Pass, but Border Patrol agents in the Eagle Pass area are being told, you're going to have to deal with an increase in illegal border crossings as well. They're already stretched thin. And in the midst of all this, the DHS Secretary Mayorkas claims, and I'm quoting, President Biden has made clear the U.S. government is committed to rebuilding a safe, orderly, and humane immigration system. Mayorkas has been at the border. He saw what those kids are going through, and that was a couple of weeks ago. We now have 18,000 unaccompanied children in these plastic facilities, what do you want to call them? And they're not 6 feet distance for COVID. They're not even 6 inches distance. And in fact, the Biden administration admits it is not testing children. It is not testing children for COVID in the Customs and Border Protection facilities. The CDC is saying that's going to be an increased risk for COVID-19 outbreaks. No kidding. No kidding, right? You had to wear a mask. You had to follow rules. You're under restrictions. And they're talking about coming up with a COVID vaccination passport for you to travel out of the country, back in, or maybe even state to state. And yet illegals can come across there and they can bother and test them. And if they find they're having COVID positive, they let them go. They let them go. And they go into communities where you watch for a spike. And if there's a spike in particular in Texas, because Governor Greg Abbott pulled up the mask mandate, said we're not going to mandate folks have to wear it. You watch. You watch, those on the left will immediately blame him for a spike in COVID cases, not the illegals. Coming up in the next segment, I want you to hear from the nonsensical Joe Scarborough, messed up coffee Joe or whatever he is, how he tries to explain why if you are against a mask mandate, you're not even walking with Jesus. Yeah, you're not walking with Jesus or God. That'll be coming up. In the meantime, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki admitting, yes, San Diego public school teachers are volunteering to teach migrant children in person. They're volunteering to teach migrant children in person, but will not go into their school districts to teach their own students. Now, do you think something's not wrong there? Of course there is. Canada suspending the use of the Oxford AstraZeneca coronavirus vaccine for those under 55. They think it might be linked to some rare blood clots. Former President Trump and the former First Lady launching a website this last evening. It's 45office.com. If you haven't done, go to it. I've already gone to it. 45office.com. 45office.com. 45, of course, for our 45th president, the word office.com should help you remember it that way. And we got a county in California, by the way, that's stepping forward to fund a universal basic income program. They're going to give $1,000 a month to 125 qualifying residents, for 2 years, helping out those who need it. But it's going to be based on race and gender. You have to qualify that way, I guess. In Philadelphia, a man decided, I'm going to shoot a video on violence in Philadelphia. Now, last weekend, Chicago, they had 30 shot, 3 killed. In Philadelphia, they've had 176 murders. This guy said, I'm going to go out and do a special report. I'm going to film a movie on the violence in Philadelphia. He took bullets to the head, stomach, and legs. Died. So he got his documentary and a grave.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be 2, 3, maybe 4 times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We met with them. We said, do you audit the lab? And they said, annually? Did you audit it after the outbreak? Yes. Was anything found? No. Do you test your staff? Yes. No.
But you're just taking their word for it.
Well, what else can we do? There's a limit to what you can do. And we went right up to that limit. We asked them tough questions. They weren't vetted in advance. And the answers they gave, we found to be believable, correct, and convincing.
And laughable. Absolutely laughable. That was from a 60 Minutes interview over the weekend with the World Health Inspector that was at the front of the most recent event. He's the sole U.S. member, Dr. Peter Daszak. And he had admitted back in March 10 in a panel discussion that the World Health Organization, while investigating the origins of the coronavirus at Wuhan, did not request to see deleted material. Material was deleted. The Wuhan Institute, when it released its report, had deleted 16,000 virus samples and information on it. They deleted those in 2019 and obviously had something to do with the pandemic, and they deleted them. And Dr. Peter Daszak, the World Health team, our U.S. member of that team, never requested to see what they deleted, and helped transfer $600,000 in U.S. taxpayer money, $600,000 in U.S. taxpayer money, to the lab as part of a research project studying bat-based coronavirus. He also acknowledged the other day that the Chinese Ministry of Foreign Affairs closely monitored the World Health Team's meetings with Chinese scientists at the Wuhan lab. But you just heard him say in that interview. He said, "We asked, we pushed, and you know, what else could we do? We asked." Well, let me point something out to you real quick before I go back to that interview. The World Health Organization has released a 123 pages of the origin of COVID-19. The draft report, and again, it's a draft report, states there's no record showing any labs worldwide that any virus is closely related to the SARS-CoV-2 prior to the pandemic. It did not acknowledge that the Wuhan Institute of Virology deleted a database containing that information I told you about. And it does state that the three Wuhan labs studying coronavirus were safe, well-managed, and no reports of COVID-like illness prior to December 2019. That's in conflict with statements from our own government. The U.S. Embassy had issued diplomatic cables warning about the inadequate safety of the Wuhan Institute after visiting the lab in 2018. In 2018, we said, you got some problems going on here. And one of the cables warned specifically that the lab's work on bat-based coronavirus represented the risk of a new SARS-like pandemic. That was reported by the Washington Post. And the State Department then announced in January it had evidence that researchers at the Wuhan Institute became sick in fall 2019 with flu-like symptoms. And we had heard reports in China where they were either killing scientists or the scientists would suddenly fall out of an open window. There were a couple of cases like that. And that they were welding doors shut of homes of Chinese so they would not move about in the populace. And they issued this report and come down to one page, basically, spent over a page, maybe one page, dismissing the lab leak theory. And folks like Peter Daszak, Dr. Daszak, representing the U.S. and the World Health Organization, went over there to ask questions and got bamboozled. And maybe got what else? What else he might have gotten? I'm not saying he did. I'm just asking. You could come back and tell the American people, well, we did everything we could. I want you to hear the interview in full, at least about a minute plus of it, as he was being interviewed. Again, this is with Leslie Stahl of CBS 60 Minutes. Please listen.
If you're going to work in China on coronaviruses and try and understand their origins, you should involve the people who know the most about that. And for better or for worse, I do.
He says the team did look into the leak theory during a visit with lab scientists and deemed it extremely unlikely.
We met with them. We said, do you audit the lab? And they said, annually? Did you audit it after the outbreak? Yes. Was anything found? No. Do you test your staff? Yes.
No. But you're just taking their word for it.
Well, what else can we do? There's a limit to what you can do. And we went right up to that limit. We asked them tough questions. They weren't vetted in advance. And the answers they gave, we found to be believable, correct, and convincing.
But weren't the Chinese engaged in a cover-up? They destroyed evidence. They punished scientists who were trying to give evidence on this very question of the origin.
Well, that wasn't our task, to find out if China had covered up the origin issue.
No, I know. I'm just saying, doesn't that make you wonder?
We didn't see any evidence of any false reporting or cover-up in the work that we did in China.
That's an idiot. I'm sorry. That's an idiot. We didn't see any evidence. And I'm glad Leslie Stahl asked a good question. She said, well, didn't you inquire? You know they've been accused of cover-up. Well, that wasn't part of our – we weren't looking to see if they covered anything up. We weren't – I mean, the whole damn thing's a cover-up, and you're not getting any answer. And you just took their word that, you know, they seemed to vet it. We talked to the people that we should, that were at the lab, and they told us this, they told us that. And I don't know if she asked him, but we had previous reports that when the World Health Organization did this study most recently, every piece of information they presented came direct from the Chinese, handed to them, that we did not even go inside the lab to see. If we had, it probably would have been sanitized, cleaned up. You know, don't look over there, just look over here. Move the curtain over there and we'll do that one. This is what we've got. When you're looking for problems in COVID and what's happened to this nation, I want to see the left get inflamed over this. You want to jump on Trump and accuse him all the time while ignoring Cuomo and what he did? Can you not at least get into the face of China? Oh, no. That would be hashtag hate Asians. We don't want to do that. Don't hate Asians. Love Asians. And blame Trump for any Asian violence in this country because he called it the Chinese flu or China, Hong Kong. I mean, not Hong Kong, but Kung flu at one point. Why would they not want to look at the actual facts? And here's a head, our U.S. representative for the World Health Organization. We might as well have sent a third grader older. I do believe the third grader would have at least gotten away with a fortune cookie. I would think he would at least get that. I don't think this guy got anything. Well, let me put it this way. Nothing, I'm going to be careful here. He got nothing above board at any gifts or remuneration or anything like that. I'll let it sit there. You know the rest of it. But again, the question she was raising, and you're ignoring what they've done in the past and how they've lied to. Well, that wasn't part of our investigation. That's worth listening to again. Let's go back to it, please.
The answers they gave, we found to be believable, correct, and convincing.
But weren't the Chinese engaged in a cover-up? They destroyed evidence. They punished scientists who were trying to give evidence on this very question of the origin.
Well, that wasn't our task, to find out if China had covered up the origin issue.
No, I know. I'm just saying, doesn't that make you wonder?
We didn't see any evidence of any false reporting or cover-up in the work that we did in China.
For those of you that are getting our YouTube channel dumped into your email, I'm not going to apologize right now for my facial reactions and my animation during this that's going to appear on YouTube. I'm not going to apologize for it. Because actually, I think I'm being very controlled. And when you watch it and you see it, you'll know what I mean. And if you don't get it delivered to your email, well, you need to do so. But, yeah, I am not going to hold back and act like, well, let's just treat this as a, you know, be very conservative in our approach. And, well, at least he did ask questions, and that's what he got. BS. I have a BS degree. I'm from Texas. I know it. I see it. I smell it. And it's all over the story. In the meantime, you, as Americans, are going to be facing maybe more restrictions and tightened down. We've got illegals coming across the border, 18,000-plus children. They're not being tested for COVID. They have admitted they're not testing them, and then they're letting them go in our country, even if they are. And, of course, there's talk about that maybe we need to consider a mask mandate. No, I'm sorry, a vaccination passport. A vaccination passport for you to travel in or out of our country and maybe state to state. So here come the loonies from the left, because, again, if you were against anything that would hold this disease down, you are a lunatic. Well, in this case, it takes one to know one. Right, Joe Scarborough?
I'm now hearing lunatics, and I call them lunatics, yeah. That are now, of course, still pushing back on the mask. But now we're saying that if we somehow have something that identifies us as having a vaccine, that we're like part of Satan or the mark of the devil, like, yeah. The idiocy, our Nazi Germany, like, the idiocy is just beyond us. They're acting recklessly and irresponsibly. They're being stupid. They're following conspiracy theories.
Well, the problem we have is we've been getting bad information, false information, misleading information, and you just heard it from the World Health Organization, once again, covering up for China. So, yeah, a lot of Americans are upset that we're not getting the right story. I mentioned to you yesterday that over the weekend, I lost someone very dear and close, 10, 12 years younger than me, good health, ate right, came down with COVID maybe 11 days prior to that, in and out of the hospital a couple of times, went back last Thursday, and by early Saturday morning, the text coming from his wife, he's gone. So, yeah, I know the reality that exists there. And while I've said I'm not sure if I'm going to get a vaccination based on that death of a very close friend, relative, I had to promise my daughters that I would, so I probably will. But you do what you need to, and then it comes to wearing a mask, you do the same. But right now we're getting so much conflicting information and lies on top of lies. Suddenly Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx are acting like, you know, we knew everything and Trump wouldn't do it. Well, maybe it's because we don't know what's true anymore. And now you want to force something on us, like maybe a passport for vaccination to prove that you have that? We're going to continue this discussion after the break, because I want you to hear again from Joe Scarborough being on MSNBC. And not only is he going to talk to you about the proof, but Jesus. Stand by.
See, now, if they don't want to take the vaccine and they want to die, that's their right as Americans. They don't have to take the vaccine and they can die. Or they can get really sick. They can live in ignorance and stupidity.
Hurt
someone
else.
They have that right, even though they're hurting other people. But please, 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 don't tell me that we can't do something so smart people who actually follow science, who actually want to take care of their children, who actually want to save their neighbors' lives, who actually want to make sure everybody around them is safe?
Yeah. No, this is a legitimate concern. It is. We are concerned about safety of those of us around us. But again, now the left is going to try to put in your face that you're just a horrible creature if you don't accept all of our rules without question. We'll pick that story up on the other side of the break.
Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
If you still believe in God, maybe get on your knees and pray and ask why it is that your thought system, that your belief system has been so corrupted that you follow QAnon, that you follow conspiracy theories, that you believe liars on Facebook instead of believing the truth. Well, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and when did that stop mattering to you? When did the truth stop mattering to you so much that you were willing to put other people's lives at risk? Greater love hath no man than to lay down his life for his brother. What, you're doing the opposite. You're going out of your way to kill people.
That is wrong. The statement is wrong. The theology he's trying to present is wrong. That's Joe Scarborough on MSNBC. He's saying, if you still believe in God, get on your knees and pray and ask, what is your thought system? You're so corrupted, you follow conspiracy theories, you believe liars on Facebook. How about the liars on CNN and MSNBC and the other state-controlled media? How many people believe them? I'm going to point out in a moment how they continue to lie and get away with it. No one calls them to account. Oh, we will on this program. And then Scarborough, because there are Americans that say, you know, I'm tired of the mask. I don't want to do anymore. I don't think we need to do this on a constant basis. And a governor like Abbott in Texas and DeSantis in Florida say we're lifting the mask mandate. And businesses will do what they want to. If you want to go in, they require a mask, then you're going to have to wear a mask or they don't want your business. Well, then you don't give them their business. And yes, we've had a lot of deaths and misery and illness hitting the nation. And it came home real hard for me this last weekend. But I still think you are entitled to make some of your own decisions on this point. And when Scarborough wants to start quoting Jesus saying, I'm the way, the truth, has nothing to do with a political statement. That's about salvation. He's trying to take a message of salvation and turn it into a political statement. That's why Jesus was not accepted in many ways when he showed up, because they expected a Messiah who was going to come and change the government for them and make things better. He came to save them. And then, of course, we're coming up on Easter to die for your sins on the cross, buried, and rose again on the third day, giving you life ever after if you believe in him. Not to be used in some political fodder ball dialogue of a commentator, be they left or right. So if you're looking for truth, I guess you could go to something called Reliable Sources. That sounds factual and reliable, right? That's the title of Brian Stelter's program on CNN. He's the media guru, and his title, Reliable Sources. Last week, he made small mention of the Cuomo scandal and the fact that Chris Cuomo, an anchor at CNN, was getting preferential treatment, got a shot and so forth, and tested way ahead of other Americans and New Yorkers because his brother was a governor. He never mentioned it on his actual program, Reliable Sources. In fact, they just kind of ignored it. They ignore a story in their own backyard because it's not flattering to us, so we look away. Stand by for Dakota Wood, Heritage Foundation.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around under 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. Our next guest in 4 decades is personal and professional travels, taking him to over 50 countries, 5 continents, through many of the world's oceans and seas. He served as a strategic analyst for the Commandant of the Marines and also later with the Secretary of Defense Internal Think Tank. He is now with the Heritage Foundation. He retired from the U.S. Marines as a lieutenant colonel in 2005. But once a Marine, always a Marine. Dakota Wood, Semper Fi, sir.
Semper Fi. That's it, right? Once a Marine, always a
yes,
Marine.
Sir. Yes, sir. Bring it on. There is no former Marine. You're absolutely right. So you put out a piece that was published in the Daily Signal titled Identity Politics and Critical Race Theory Have No Place in U.S. Military. You take the floor, sir.
Well, I mean, the whole idea behind those sorts of approaches in this identity politics world is really emphasizing the unique individual identity of individuals, when the whole point in team building, right, is to focus on a common purpose, commonality and, you know, uniform and value systems. Why are you part of that group and what are you doing down that path, right, to accomplish an objective? So identity politics, and especially in critical race theory, where the basis for that is white-ism is inherently racist, it's bad, you should feel guilty about being a particular race or have an ethnic or historical background, and then that puts you at odds with all of the other racial or ethnic or religious groups that might be out there. So these people who are pushing the agenda are intentionally emphasizing things that cause division. They sow resentment, a sense of victimization, And then this idea that one group or groups should be treated differently or elevated compared to other groups, you know, which are apparently on the bad side of history.
And so
I just think that that sort of stuff, you know, bringing into our military services is inherently harmful.
And to that point, and folks who have been in the military, especially the Marines and the other branches as well, know that you are a unit. You are a unit. The Army has a phrase, Army of One type thing. In other words, in the Marines, obviously, if someone in the platoon fouls up, everybody pays. Everybody has a punishment. Everybody ends up doing it. And in fact, the person that fouled up may just get there and be excused, because you're right. You want a cohesive unit. You don't want divisiveness. If you start doing it based upon race, religion, gender, I mean, you don't have a uniform that represents the nation.
I mean, if you need medical support or fuel or ammo or a hot meal, you don't care who's providing that, right? I mean, you're all on the battlefield together. You're an operating environment. You know, if you're on a ship, you don't want somebody in the engine room at odds because of racial, you know, issues with somebody who might be on the bridge, you know, calling down orders to the engine room. So by emphasizing things that differentiate people, instead of looking at the commonality, you know, we're all people, we're all created by God, we're all out there serving the flag and our fellow countrymen. I mean, those are the things that unite and bring us together, right? So I think the military is really the epitome of this melting pot experience.
Well, you know, it should
what
be.
America it's supposed to represent.
It should be, but we cannot deny the past that we had, like during World War II. With how we treated black troops and black airmen, which later, you know, the Tuskegee Airmen were outstanding.
Yeah.
And even Koreans and Japanese ancestry were Americans who entered, and how they were treated. So, but the whole idea is, I think we have moved past it. It's a bad part of our history, but that's not where we are now.
But that's the beauty of America, is we actually acknowledge that, right? So the United States has done more to pursue equality among an incredibly diverse population in a shorter period of time than any other nation, country, people, or civilization in the history of mankind. I mean, so you look at these bad parts of our history, and what can we draw from that, and how do we rise above that, right? But if you keep referring back to them and emphasizing wrongs that occurred 100 years ago or 70 years ago, what have you, and then everybody is supposed to be guilty because of that, how do you get beyond it, right? I mean, how do you get beyond it? So my experience.